Well, as I said before, our prelude today, the Chains of Our Making, is really one of our favorites of all of our original, you know, St. Paul songs. And it's actually the opening track of our CD. Hopefully everybody has that CD and they listen to it. And that was done, it's amazing, almost 4 years ago. Because that song, The Chains of Our Making, was written, as I said, on February 2nd, of 2022. And when I wrote that, it was at my kitchen table, there were two things within reach. A guitar down to my left, which there always is on a stand, and on the table in front of me was a book. And the book is this book right here, The Strength to Love by Dr. Martin Luther King. And tomorrow's MLK Day. You know that. That book was laying on the table. And if you listen to the lyrics of that song, if you remember, that song was heavily inspired, and some of the lyrics were absolutely inspired, by Find the Strength to Love. Turn the page. I was literally turning the pages through the book, The Strength to Love, when I wrote that the lyrics to that song. So it was very much inspired by that song. And the book... this book right here was, and the song, they were both about wanting and kind of yearning to be free. Free from what? Free from the chains that are largely of our own making. The chains of sin, pride, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, violence, hatred. Others, things like this. These are the chains that prevent us from being truly free and living, I think, joyful lives. And I think we heard about that in our responsive reading today. And even in 1956, which is when most of this book was written, 1956, even then, think about that. Now think about that. Even then, with all the significant, you know, headwinds against the black community, Dr. King is saying that this is still mainly in our control. He's saying even then, and certainly now, we as a community and individually, we can and we must find the strength to love. In our gospel reading today, we hear what is probably the most challenging command ever given to us by Jesus. It's from his Sermon on the Mount, and it's to our ears right here in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms to love your enemies. Now notice, he does not say that you have to like your enemies. And in his book, in this book right here, Dr. King makes the point, quote, we should be happy that Jesus did not say, like your enemies. He goes on to say, it is almost impossible to like some people. End quote. It's pretty true, right? It's not funny in a way, but it's bluntly true. It's bluntly true. Okay, but how? How do we actively and actually love those who we might not really like? Or those with whom we may strongly disagree. Pretty common, right? Or, how do we love those who may have hurt us or wronged us in some way? Well, Dr. King mentions a few necessary actions in his book. And the first is forgiveness. Quote, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. End quote. And then second, he points out a very biblical truth. He says, all of us, including our so-called enemies, are made in God's image. He says this, again, quote, there's some good in the worst of us, and there's some evil in the best of us, including ourselves. And then third, Dr. King says this. He says, we must not seek to defeat or humiliate the opposition, but seek to win their understanding. Wise? Pretty wise? Imagine that. Imagine that. Dr. King thought it was an expression, an act of love to meet with, sit down with, those with whom you disagree and have a civil conversation. Notice, not necessarily with the goal of agreeing, but the goal of respectfully understanding. What a novel approach. Right? What a novel approach. Now, I can think of a few examples of this today, but they're pretty few. I bet we can all think of many examples, picture them, of the exact opposite, can't we? Many. So, okay, forgiveness, mutual respect, civility. This is the way forward, to move forward in love. That's the how. That's the how you do it. But why? Why should we love our enemies? Well, I would say first and foremost, because Jesus commands us to do it. That's why. That should be all we need to know. That should be the only reason we really need. But, okay. There's also some very practical reasons, you might even say logical reasons, for doing it. Dr. King says that the most obvious reason is this, because hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And we all know this is true, don't we? Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And so, we reach a practical impasse in our world today, as they did back in the 50s and 60s. We must love. We must. And we must love our enemies. Or else. Or else the chain reaction of hate and evil will plunge you just further into the abyss. I mean, can you see it? Can you see it happening? Can you see it happen? Have you seen it? Hate in action. I mean, the hatred is just as harmful to the person who hates as it is to the person being hated. You can see it. You can see the corrosive effect on their personality and on their very soul. And maybe you can feel it on yourself, if you're being honest. The only practical, logical cure for this is to love. You know, there are those who say that we should not erect statues or name streets after, or have a national holiday for a man like Dr. King. Why? Well, some believe he had moral shortcomings. They say He was not a sinless or perfect man. You know, without excusing anything, I guess I would say that we only had statues of perfect people. We wouldn't have many statues. I guess we'd have statues of Jesus and nobody else. And if we only listened to the wisdom and teachings of perfect people, we wouldn't pay attention to anything written by our own St. Paul, would we? Or just about anybody else. Anybody else, really, maybe other than Jesus. But I've read a lot of the works and sermons of Dr. King. A lot. And although I may not agree with or even understand all of it, he was up there. I mean, I'm like, wow. I'm overwhelmingly in awe of his message of love and nonviolence and peace. His life work was a struggle for freedom against very real, real challenges. I mean, he was imprisoned multiple times, stabbed almost to death, and ultimately assassinated for his beliefs. But he knew, and he was correct. Because of his faith in the power of real, in Christ-like love, in the power of Christ-like love, he had faith in that. He knew that the only way forward was through nonviolent, peaceful, and lawful action. That was the only way forward. And to be sure, Dr. King was a man of action. And he put love into action. So I'll close with these words from his book, right there, The Strength to Love. Quote, I have discovered that the highest good is love. This principle is at the center of the cosmos. It is the great unifying force of life. God is love. He who loves has discovered this clue to the meaning of ultimate reality. He who hates stands in the shadow of ultimate darkness.